All right, take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to be looking at just half of a verse today. It says in verse 20 of Philippians chapter 3, "For our conversation is in heaven." Now let's, if you have a newer translation, the word there is citizenship. And that's what we're going to be focusing on a little bit. I'll give you a little brief explanation as to why the King James has conversation. The King James was, contrary to what some people believe, would sometimes lean rather heavily on the Vulgate, which is the Latin translation that is the official Bible of the Catholic Church. And they would lean on the Latin Vulgate to for some translation ideas. And the word there is in Latin is, I'm not going to try to pronounce it in Latin, but it's the word we get our word conversation from. And so they went ahead and leaned that way. And of course, conversation back when the King James was done had a much broader meaning than it does today. So there was some overlap in the meanings, but that's been lost by our day. The idea of citizenship is what is in mind here. And it fits the context wonderfully. Remember that as far as finding out the details and figuring out the what does this mean kind of a situation, remember who was writing, who was reading this the first time, who are the original addressees of this, what was their circumstance, what culture did they live in, and if you look at those things, you'll go, okay, all right, now that makes a lot more sense. And I will tell you that that is a huge help in understanding your New Testament. This is why we interpret the Bible, need to interpret the Bible literally, historically, and grammatically. When I say grammatically, I mean that sometimes, you know, if you use a Strong's Concordance or a Vine's Dictionary to help you with some of the words, just like this word conversation, those three tools, if you do that, you're going to hit the mark every time. Granted, there is some figurative language and so on in the Bible, but generally speaking, if you take it literally, historically, and grammatically, you will hit it right on target, and your outcome, your understanding, your theology, everything will come together and fit together beautifully. If you deviate from that, then you end up reading other ideas into the Scripture, sometimes unwittingly, but that's what we end up doing. So, citizenship. Now let's give a review of what it was like when Paul wrote this in the late 50s, early 60s, probably early 60s. He was imprisoned in Rome. Philippi, which is about 200 miles east of Thessalonica, in the extreme east of what was then Macedonia, it is in Greece today, just before he hit Turkey. And Philippi was a Roman colony. A Roman colony was a city that was established or taken over or rebuilt, whatever the case may be, but it was a place where military who had finished their time in their, when they signed up, by the way, it was usually for 14 to 17 years. It wasn't 3 years at a time or 4 years at a time or 6 years at a time. When you went in, you went, you know. And so after you had served for whatever your allotted time was, you very often, depending on where you were chronologically and during the course of the Roman Empire, but you were given land in a colony. You could go to one of the colonies. And you also would very often get Roman citizenship. Just like if somebody who is a Mexican national or a national from virtually, I should say, every country. I'm not sure what the rules are right now. But if you want to become an American citizen, you can join the United States military. And after you have been honorably discharged, citizenship is a fairly easy step to take. And the Romans did the same thing. Most of the people in the Roman Empire in the first century were not citizens. They were subjects, and there's a world of difference. They could, if the government so chose, under the right circumstances, they could be enslaved. They could be arrested and held without trial. They could be beaten senseless. They could be scourged just to find out some information. They had no legal rights, or at least very, very few legal rights. Understand also that almost half of the Roman Empire technically were slaves. Now, most people who were slaves in the Roman Empire received their freedom within 10 to 15 years for various reasons. But slavery meant that you were a piece of property and had no rights whatsoever. Your life was at the whim of your master. Roman citizenship was originally only for those in Rome. During the course of history, it was broadened to include all those who lived in Italy, and then also extended to, again, soldiers who had finished their term of service. And then they kept adding to it. And then descendants of soldiers. And then also, certain cities would be given this status. And the colonies had a perk, had a benefit. And this was true for, Corinth also was a colony. One of the perks of these things is that you would have a Roman governor over the province. I can go into all the details, but you had a Roman governor over the province. And they had their own laws and rules and regulations for the province. But the colonies were exempt from all of that. They were also exempt from taxation. Big, big plus. I'd like to have a colony here in Puyallup myself. And they operated under the rules of Rome, so that they were like a Roman neighborhood, but way, 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 way over here. So they didn't operate under the rules of Asia or Macedonia. They operated under the rules of Rome. Their courts were operated under the jurisprudence of Rome. They would often, a lot of their legal things would be done in Latin as opposed to Greek. And so the colonies had a very different feel to them. They also were rather patriotic when it came to the Roman Empire. They had a vested interest in this. They had the benefits and so on of Rome. We'll talk about that in just a moment. And once in a while, a city would be given this status. All right, Pergamos, one of the seven churches of Asia, if I remember correctly, was given this status because the last king of Pergamos had no heir. And so in his will, he gave his kingdom to the Roman Empire. He figured it was the best option available to him. And the Romans, therefore, gave Pergamos all these perks and privileges. Sometimes they would do this with an individual. If somebody had done something that was considered very helpful to the empire, or if somebody was considered to be a particularly noble and good man, the empire, out of their goodwill, would bestow citizenship on that individual and to their descendants after them. That is probably, we don't know, but that's probably what happened with the Apostle Paul. Paul was born a citizen, mentions there in Acts 22, I think it is. And his father, although a Pharisee, had citizenship. You could also buy citizenship, but only during certain windows of time. Claudius Caesar, who during the early in Paul's ministry, was the emperor. Claudius needed money. You know, he had high tastes. He had certain things that he wanted to accomplish. There were certain building projects and so on. He needed money. And if you raise taxes too much, you end up with demonstrations and rebellions and so on. So we want to avoid that. If we're going to tax them, just creep it up a little bit so they don't notice so much. By the way, the Romans had the same policy that we do. Instead of hammering people with, we're going to tax you for 38 or 40 or 50% of your income. And so what they do is they nickel and dime them, and it all adds up to the same thing anyway, which is what we do here. So what Claudius did is he said, all right, I know what we'll do. For some outrageous sum of money, we will sell citizenship. So if you have a guy who's got deep enough pockets, he can buy citizenship. Might be for the equivalent of, say, $50,000 or $100,000 today, but he could buy citizenship. And in that day and in that place and so on, it may be very much worth it. If you could come up with that kind of money, it may be worth it. There were a lot of perks and benefits, as we'll see. And remember that Lysias, the commander there in Acts 22, bought his citizenship. He had purchased it. And again, there were, again, privileges of Roman citizenship. Now, we mentioned if you were a subject, you had no rights. If you were a citizen, there was no imprisonment without trial. Now, Paul's rights were infringed upon by a corrupt governor, but he exercised them and eventually ended up in Rome for that very reason. No imprisonment without trial. You were exempted from beatings or scourgings. Remember, after they arrested Paul in Jerusalem, they tied him to a post and were going to scourge him. He says, is it all right for you to tie up a man who is a citizen and uncondemned? Untie the guy. Be careful what you do. Man, we tied this guy up. And he's a citizen. Even tying him up could get them in big trouble. So you gotta deal with this guy with kid gloves because he's a citizen. And then when Lysias sent the letter to Felix, he ingratiates himself. Having discovered that this man was a citizen, I did this, this, and this. If they were convicted of a capital crime, they were exempt from crucifixion. And they could appeal to Caesar as a last resort. Go to the Supreme Court. They could go over the heads of the provincial governors and so forth and appeal to Caesar. So perks and benefits of this. Now, Paul uses that as a great illustration. The people there in Philippi would know everything I have just mentioned to you and a whole lot more regarding citizenship, because they were a colony. The people there were citizens. Paul had them come and extract him from prison, and they were very polite and very condescending to him after they had found out he was a citizen after what they'd done to him. And so they were very well aware of the benefits of citizenship. Paul says our citizenship is in heaven. We, if we know Christ as Savior, presently have citizenship in heaven. We are citizens of the coming kingdom. But just like these folks in Philippi, even though they are citizens of Rome, Rome's a long way away. We are, to some extent, a colony of heaven. We operate by different rules than the society around us. Now, granted, we are to obey the rules, the law of the land, and so on. We see that repeatedly mentioned in Scripture. Read it this morning in Romans. But we are a colony of pilgrims. And I don't mean the guys who settled in Massachusetts at Plymouth with the funny hats with the buckles on the front that we used to make out of construction paper when I was in first grade. A pilgrim is a foreigner. Paul says we are strangers and pilgrims. We are foreigners and wanderers in this world. We are a colony of citizens awaiting our kingdom. And we will rule and reign with him initially for the 1,000 years and then forever. But we are awaiting that. And so Paul uses that as an illustration to this body of believers there in Philippi. They had, in Philippi, I believe, I mentioned this when we went through this earlier, I believe that Paul, I always wonder, why in the world did Paul endure the beating, get put in the stocks in prison? Why didn't he say, hey, I'm a citizen, you can't do this to me? Been you and me, we probably would have done that. Hey, wait a minute, you can't do that, I'm a citizen. And they would have stopped. Why did he, and Silas evidently was a citizen as well. Why did they endure such things? And then exercise their rights later on. I personally believe that it was probably, I think it was conscious. I think Paul actually endured this for a purpose. I believe it was so that the Philippian church would be left alone. This was the first outpost of Christianity in Europe. And to have them established and have the authorities leave them alone, at least for a generation, would be a huge boon. And I think it was. But these people knew the privileges of Roman citizenship. How much greater is our citizenship in heaven? And frankly, we need to have the same mentality. You know, I believe we live in the greatest country in the world. We have freedoms and liberties that other people only dream of. And other countries that have, in essence, the same liberties and freedoms that we have, historically have, for the most part, derived those from our example. And so we live in a great and wonderful place. I believe that it is a country to be revered and honored and respected and so forth. But understand that our citizenship, our chief citizenship, our most important citizenship is our citizenship in heaven. And because of that, even though we are under the laws of the land and so on, we also operate under a different system, a different set of rules that are according to the scripture, with the anticipation of the kingdom of which we are citizens, and that we will rule and reign. It's a matter of waiting. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for what we have. We've got it now. And so, Father, thank you for the citizenship that we have, all the rights, the privileges, the blessings of it. And it will never go away. It is ours for eternity. And Father, the inheritance that we await, the kingdom coming, is an eternal inheritance. And so, Father, thank you for life eternal, for a kingdom eternal, and for citizenship eternal. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen.